Grace Pellig, thank you so much for joining us on 2SER this morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
How is it down in Batemans Bay?
It's a bit overcast today, but apart from that, it's always fabulous.
And tell us a little bit about your creative process. Now, you work with pastels, is that correct?
I do work mainly with pastels. I actually trained in oils at Montsalvat in Melbourne, but I changed to pastels in 1988.
What inspired that change?
Well, because I had young children and you can't be busy and work with oils. You can't say, yes, I'll be there in 20 minutes after I've washed my brushes. So I sort of gave it up. It was just too frustrating. So I tried the pastel and I realised that I could just walk away whenever I wanted to, and I could walk back without any problems of washing and cleaning and stuff like that. So I turned to the pastels and I've been with them ever since. But I have also returned to the oils. I've done 7 oils in 25 years. So
pacing yourself.
Yeah, I'm enjoying getting back to that as well. So
yeah. And can you describe your style for us?
Well, I trained as a tonal realist or tonal impressionist, depending upon which lean. But what I do basically, well, what I used to do was paint what I see, and I've been studying that for 50 years. That's what interests me most, is play of light on whatever I'm looking at. And the light is important because I can find the perfect composition in what I see, but if it's the light's not right, I'm not interested. So
okay.
So it's actually I teach a lot, and one of the things that I teach is I teach the passage of light across whatever I'm looking at.
And when you say the passage of light, do you mean as light kind of moves across the...
Yes.
Okay.
Light on objects on surface, which is a still life, or light across landscape. And even when I'm studying a portrait, it has to be lit properly for me to proceed.
Right. And where do you get your inspiration from?
Well, it's in the world. It's everywhere. And it is basically it's beauty does inspire me the most.
Do you remember the first piece you sold?
Actually, I don't.
It was maybe a little while ago.
It was. I think I remember the excitement. Of actually, I think I might have been at an exhibition at an opening and sold my work. I think it was down in, I think it could have been at EA when I first sold the work. Not quite sure actually, but I do remember the excitement.
Yeah. And when did you start calling yourself an artist?
Well, it's an interesting question because I know a lot of artists struggle with that. But I remember being told when I was about 7 or 8 by a young man who was visiting my home with my family, and he saw a drawing that I'd done, and he looked at me and he said, you're an artist. And I said, I didn't quite know what he was talking about. He said, I remember it quite distinctly. He said, you are an artist and you'll always be an artist. And I thought, how intriguing, you know, am I? I'm an artist. That's what I am. So I took it on board. And I've always thought of myself as an artist because this young man told me I was.
Oh, that's so beautiful and prophetical from him, isn't it?
Yes, it was extraordinary. So, you know, I've never struggled with it, and I always have basically been inspired and worked away. I must say that, but I was going to be a nurse as well because everybody in my family, all the women in my family were nurses. So I sort of basically grew up saying, and what are you going to do when you grow up? And I thought, well, I'd better do something. I'd better be a nurse. And that was a fabulous idea. So I did get myself a nursing bursary and booked myself into the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne. And 3 weeks before I was to start, I said to my family, I don't want to do nursing. I'm changed my mind. And I remember my family saying, well, what would you like to do? And I said, I want to go to art school, thinking there could be a spot of bother. But my father said, well, if that's what you want to do, you'd better get going and find your way there. And so I did.
That's great, considering everyone else was nurses and you were 3 weeks off being one as well.
Right. You know, I thought there could be a spot of bother, but as it was, it turned out well. And I did graphic design because I was advised that you either have to die or do something like graphic design to make yourself any money. So I did graphic design, but in fact was the wrong course because I failed after 2 years. So I just went along and got myself all sorts of jobs along the way, and always was painting and drawing and doing the sorts of stuff that you do.
Can you tell us about one of the favourite paintings or pieces you've created?
The one that I'm doing at the moment is always the best that I'm ever going to do in my life. And, you know, when I've finished, sometimes it's not, but sometimes it is. So that's how I go about it.
You're in love with what's in front of you.
Every time.
Yeah.
It sort of works for me. And there has, you know, I see a progress and I feel the progress.
And what do you do to get out of a creative funk?
I look at my old lady painting. I've got probably 200,000 photographs in 4 computers.
Oh my goodness, great.
I know. But I do have to live for a long time. But, you know, there are lots of them in there calling me. So all I have to do is scroll through this computer, that computer, go, oh, where am I going here? Or else I see something that calls me and I attend to that.
How do you know when a piece is done?
Well, sometimes you just keep backing away and you feel more and more content. Sometimes I'll have a piece in front of me and I'll step away, I'll come back in, you know, a few hours, and as soon as I see something again, I walk back into the room and have a look, and I'll see 2 things that need to be changed. And then I'll say, okay, I'll do that, and that's it.
And then it's done.
Then it's done, yeah. Yeah, I've backed away, but if I look again after a break, sometimes I can see something that needs adjusting, but then I just leave it alone.
Right. And who would you say is your biggest fan?
Do you mean the person that likes my work the most?
Yeah, who's your cheerleader? Who kind of keeps you propped up and going?
Well, I've just lost my main cheerleader. Unfortunately, my partner of 20 years has recently died of a heart attack, and he was my cheerleader.
Oh, Grace, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so I'm stumped for an answer.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And so would he always like go, oh, you know, that's a great one, or would he ever give any kind of guidance in terms of that's maybe not your best work?
No, I'd never say that. maybe he would. But he was always, he was always encouraging.
Yeah.
So,
who is your biggest critic then?
Maybe he was as well. Yeah, which could, you know, there you go. I don't.
Was out of interest, was he creative or artistic himself?
Oh, he's a poet.
Oh, beautiful.
I guess your friends, my friends, and a lot of my friends are artists, so we're all critiques, I guess, and encouragers of each other's work.
Yep. Did you play the cheerleader/critic role to your partner?
Well, would you believe he was always a very good writer, but he only wrote poetry for the last year of his life. He died at 81. And he wrote some very beautiful some works. I think there were a whole lot of people who read his work were certainly cheering.
Yeah. And what have you been creating for Out of the Ashes exhibition?
I've actually just finished a work that gave me great pleasure. I was in the middle of two commissions and I've sort of left them aside and started on a new work, and I've just finished it, and it's a still life. It was photographed in autumn last year, and autumn's almost upon us now. Mm. So we're getting to the same stage of a lot of autumn leaves. In amber glass, I paint with amber glass because I love the light, the play of light, of sunlight through the amber especially. So that's basically what I've been painting. But there is, you know, I know that I find refuge in my painting for all of this. There, you know, art for me is the refuge of discovered, and that's really basically the only thing I can say. It seriously is my solace.
You do create some really stunning, richly coloured pieces, so it's great that you have that solace. It's great that you have that refuge to go to.
Yeah.
Last question for you. What advice would you give to 30-year-old artist Grace?
Go, girl, go. Oh, go, boy, go. But I'm always very thrilled when even an older person, you know, some of my students are older than I am, which is getting along. I'm 71.
Okay. And
I had a lady who came into the studio and she said, I've just discovered the joy of it all. And she said, I'm just adoring it. And she was, close to 90. And I thought to myself, good luck you, because she had discovered the joy of it. And I think that if you can discover it at any age,
it's never too late, is it?
No, yeah. Absolutely not, because it's the journey. The journey is the journey. We're all on it.
Yeah. Oh, Grace, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been fabulous talking with you, and I wish you all the best for your creative endeavours moving forward.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been my pleasure.